Hello, freaks, and welcome to Radical Research. This is episode 123. I've got half man, half biscuit here, Hunter Ginn. We've been chatting again for another 45 minutes. We tend to exhaust ourselves on the personal fun stuff, and then we get to the show, and it's like we can't deliver anymore. It's over.
Just outright flaccid.
The outright flaccid biscuit. Yeah, we've been talking. We should get into vaudeville, though. What you heard opening the show was just a little bit of a song called Summoning, which is the final thing on their final EP of their discography. That was the last thing we heard from them. 2001 Siberian Church Recordings. I think it was recorded a couple years prior to that, though. That's where this band ended up. It's ambient. Siberian Church Recordings is a lot more detailed than that, but this band traveled an interesting road, and we're going to get into it, Hunter. And we're both pretty fascinated with the brief but wild travels of this band, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, they are, I think they're honorary Norwegians.
Oh,
You
yeah.
think about their evolution. It's kind of a Beyond Dawn sort of story.
But made for the Queensryche Fates Warning psychotic waltz fan, right?
Even so, maybe this is exactly why we love this band so much.
That makes a lot of sense. Before we go there, we're anxious, but we have to thank additions to our growing group of Patreon supporters, Sebastian, aka Bucket Bot. He's actually,
Oh, Sebastian.
oh, you know him. I was like, is this a
Oh, no, my God. We love Sebastian. So Sebastian is probably the biggest Agalloch fan in the world. I met Sebastian at Prophecy Fest
ah. Oh.
in Romania, and he actually did the new theme song for I Hate Music, Jason's podcast.
Aha, that's right. Okay. So I looked at that Bucket Bot and I was like, I know about him and I know him through you. But Bucket Bot, I was like, do bots give money? Because I don't think so. I mean,
He also is maybe the world's leading scholar on Buckethead.
Agalloch and Buckethead, big favorites. Okay, Bucket Bot. Interesting. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, welcome, Sebastian. And yeah, he's been with us a while. I think he's probably been listening a while. Also, I know this next guy, Andreas Johansson, has been listening to us for quite a while. He did sign up with Patreon as well. So him and Bucketbot, we're in good company with these guys. Thank you. We are so grateful. Want to also, since we're going to be covering an Australian band tonight, I want to call out to Dan Franks, who sent us one of these flattering emails about somebody who found us, communed with what we are into musically across a wide span, and like really latched on, has a lot of things to say about our episodes, and he doesn't always agree with us, and it's great, and we prefer that. So if you want to write us, if you want to do Patreon, two addresses that I want you to go back to and listen to after we cover vaudeville, that's patreon.com/radicalresearchpodcast, and you can contact us at radicalresearchpodcast@gmail.com. That's also our PayPal ID if you go direct. Anyway, we appreciate everybody out there, all the support.
I love when people don't agree with us.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
everyone agreeing is just boring.
And you know Marty's into that.
Yeah, I know one person that's into
Anyhow, we love you, Marty Rickman.
that.
So Vaudeville, man, VauxDVihL. We're originally known as Vaudeville, the way we normally spell it. It makes sense if you look at the spellings. So it's a homophonic name. How do we say in that? Homophonic.
I would say homophonic.
Homophonic. They released a three-song demo in 1993. Have you ever heard that, Hunter? Being 1993, that's a question for you
I have
immediately.
not.
You have not.
I
I
have
have not
not.
either. I have not either, but seeing that it's like three songs from the album, I don't imagine like the versions are all that different. We
Yeah,
are talking.
because the album came out so quickly after, so
Yeah,
probably,
right.
yeah.
Yeah, 1994. I didn't know this until today, Hunter, when I was doing research for the radical thing we do. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Well, that there was a version of the CD that came out in 94 that didn't yet change the name to the Weird One. And then, did you know that?
No.
I know. And I have the original one. I think you do too, right? Do you have the original
Yeah, I do.
to
Yeah.
Dimension Logic on Advent? But that's the more weird, the weirdest spelling. They changed it up. And so I didn't know that there was one with the original name. So it's kind of cool for nerds out there. Before we leave the name thing, did you also know that they were called Vaudeville Clowns at one point?
I did not.
What do you think of that name?
I don't care for it because I hate clowns. You know that.
I know you hate clowns like most of, like
Fucking hate clowns.
any right-minded person hates clowns.
Yeah.
But a good thing they didn't go for that name, right? I mean, vaudeville clowns, we probably
Vaudeville
wouldn't.
clowns. I would
Yeah.
have never bought that record.
Well, let's listen and get into it. There's a lot to talk about this band that had a very short discography, 17 or 18 songs, really. This is the title track from the 1994 album, Two Dimension Logic, called, well, of course, Two Dimension Logic. Hunter picked it, so if you hate it, talk to him. All
Take
right.
it up with me. You know, I always think about this band. I always thought about them as this weird mutation of Queensryche's Rage for Order. But I was really glad that you mentioned Psychotic Waltz because I heard a lot of that in there.
Into the Everflow.
Yep. And I heard a lot of Sieges Even in there too.
Yes. Now that, yeah, that's one that I didn't draw that line until my last couple listens, whenever that, whatever span
I've
that was,
never
quarter.
thought about it.
Yeah. It's
But.
there. Because Sieges Even took that. We're in this obviously prog metal world, the best kind of prog metal world. Queensryche, Fate's Warning. I'll even say early Dream Theater, of course.
Okay.
Sieges Even, and Psychotic Waltz, of course, the Kings. Along with Fates and Queensryche. I mean, bands we just absolutely die for. So this band comes along and does this, and they put their own spin on it because there was a lot of this sort of stuff in the mid 90s. I wrote about it in my first book. Like, there's an entire chapter devoted to this thing of like these kind of bands that came in these bands' wake. And it wasn't all Dream Theater. It was influence from Queensryche, influence from Fate's Warning, influence from even Psychotic and even Sieges Even. So here they come, and like, you're right. They took the more finessed versions of all of that because you brought up Rage for Order, the most sophisticated and finessed, arty Queensryche album, in my opinion. And then Sieges Even, who always kind of like rounded off all the corners except on the first album. But you're probably more talking about Sense of Change and that era, right?
I was thinking Sense of Change, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of smoother delivery. There's a beauty to it, there's a flow to it. I don't want to say softness, they're metal. But a sense of
Kind of.
maybe a sensitivity.
Yeah. Yeah, or just an elegance.
Ah, elegance. There you go.
They just, It's a very lyrical, kind of poetic take on sort of 80s Rush.
It has to be another influence, right?
And Vaudeville takes that and just integrates it into their sound.
Well, let's do this little snippet. I let you choose the snippets for this album. I chose the EPs. Seemed like a good division of labor. We love everything, but you know this album actually a little bit better than I do. It's been a slow burn for me. I didn't totally respond when it first came out. I knew I should have on paper after, especially after all the things we've said. I mean, it seems like a shoe-in for a guy like me, who always found it hard to get dates. But like Questions or Misanthropy, is this shorter tune, 2.5 minutes, and you chose this? And this shows how sophisticated they were already on the debut in terms of where they were wanting to go. Here we go.
Are we destined for the same afterlife? Or does it exist or call to you this fate?
I chose that specifically because you and I, as everyone knows, both love Anathema's Eternity. And this sounds remarkably like an anticipation of Anathema's Eternity.
Yeah, 2 years
There's
earlier,
even,
right?
like, I mean, the opening is especially evocative of it. But
Angelica, Sentient. It's
yeah.
that opening of the Anathema album. Yeah, of
Exactly.
Eternity. Yeah.
But it even has those swooping, elongated guitar lines.
And ones that aren't like kind of staying in a cliche area.
Right.
I don't want to bag on Petrucci or Malmsteen. I think both those guys are amazing. There's a sensitivity to the lead, the melody, that guys like that wouldn't be able to play.
Yep.
It's too improvised in a way. Like you feel like that could have been first, second take, just flowing through it. And you're so right to bring up Eternity, man. It captures that emotion, and as it gets into it, it does as well. That's an album we're going to be doing an entire episode on quite soon. And I think I've surprised you with saying that, Hunter, but I can guarantee it.
I'll be okay with that.
And that would be an episode about Anathema in general, because to me, there's a certain apex where everything meets. Like you can kind of link that to The Optimist. You can link it to Woes to Iliad. You know what I mean? You can go
No, sure.
all the way with Eternity. I don't know that you can make that link with any other album. I certainly can't do that with Alternative Four, but
No,
not
no,
as easily. Anyhow,
no. Or even Judgment. No, I agree.
listen to us going off on an anathema tangent. Oh boy.
Here they go.
I guess this is a good time to bring up disembowelment. There's a link. And you know the link, right?
I do. Well, for one, Renato did the artwork
Yeah, he's
to the
credited
music
for
project.
the visual aesthetic, the art direction and design. Pretty cool. Fab Gallen is the guitarist, vocalist of this band, and they're brothers. And of course, Renato's from Disembowelment. And because Hunter is part of this Radical Research podcast, we have to say Trial of the Bow.
Don't we? Yeah.
Trial of the Bow, and they're out of tune flute.
Whatever, man. And it is out of tune, but also I totally prefer ornamentation.
As long as we've been friends, I have bitched to you about the out of tune flute on that one Trial of the Bow song. I don't know anybody else that knows that.
Irks me too.
Anyway.
But like I said, ornamentation is my Trial of the Bow jam.
Yeah, man. No, I, dude, I,
Not rite of passage,
much,
which I and I like m most of that,
yeah.
but yeah, I
Gotcha.
hear you. Did you guys have like a board meeting at Relapse? Like, fucking, what the fuck is that flute doing?
Yeah, no, I remember mentioning it to somebody there, and they kind of just either Bill or Matt. Like, there were other people there, but I think the guys that would like, if there was a problem, you'd go to those guys and go, "You want to talk to Renato about the flute? You know, it's pretty bad." But like, they were just like, "Eh, it's already going to mastering." I think we had that conversation. It wasn't a meeting. I don't know if I brought it up or somebody else did, but I wasn't the only one that heard it. You know what I mean? Like, it was
It's pretty obvious.
anyway. Look, there's some out of tune notes and some early Slayer solos, if you know what I mean.
Say most Slayer solos.
Okay, moving on. Yeah, so the visual aesthetic done by Renato of Disembowelment. I just want to point this out for a second because you can look at that record and go, like the big V on the back looks like a five, Roman numeral five, or it looks like the work of somebody that designed Transcendence in the Peripheral. So I like that aspect. I like that in this kind of music, we get a little disembowelment touch somehow.
Yep.
Separate ends. Hunter, you didn't write or perform this music, but you deserve so much credit just for picking that section. That's really nice. I mean, that's kind of a peak on this album.
That is a real highlight for me, and it's almost like religious music for me. I think about like the things that I believe in music, and they're all encapsulated in that passage.
Well, same brother. That's why
Yeah.
we agree a lot.
Yep.
That we get this. Yeah. How did you get into this band? Because my entry into it was, I'll give you the quick version. I don't want to hear your longer explanation. 1996, I'm at Relapse, falls into my hands. I can't remember. I think it was the Disembowelment connection, actually. Renato connection. Like, he sent a few of these, and I'm sure it was in their catalog. But it wasn't the kind of music that like most people realize Doug. I was alone, like in being really excited about this. And I loved it, but I didn't connect right away. And it's just been a slow burn over the years. And it's probably maybe where my head was at or just what, I don't know. I think some of this stuff is impenetrable for a few listens until you get it. It's a little bit like, you know, my, this is public now in my Facebook, but like, I didn't get Awake in the Guardian the first couple of listens. I had to kind of acclimate to the complexity in a way. In 1986, as a 17-year-old, this is kind of new for me. Vaudeville felt that way. To Dimension Logic felt that way. So anyhow, that's my thing with this band. What about yours? Like, how did you discover this band? And were you into Fates and Queensryche and Psychotic Waltz when you got into them?
Oh God, yeah. No, this is like way later for me. I didn't even know about them. So when you guys published in Maniacs the top 30 for the 90s,
Yeah.
this was in Matt Johnson's list.
Ah,
And high up.
of course it was.
And that's how I discovered it.
Ah, love it. And at first, were you into it? Did it take you all to acclimate like me, or were you
It
like
did
one?
actually. I was kind of cold to it at first.
Okay.
And it's a cold record in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, it's yeah, it's steely and yeah, it kind of sounds like it looks.
In that beautiful, perfect symmetry way too, though, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, Perfect Symmetry is a very cold, like not loving record.
But it right, okay, but like Two Dimension Logic, what I'm saying is it's got beauty and shape and a kind of sculpted thing that it's not warm, but it's inviting. Like it, you know, it's emotionally kind of deep. So we don't mean cold
It's
as
almost like you have to knock on the door a few times to be
absolutely.
invited in. You know what I mean? Like
Man, I'm
at
telling you,
first,
yeah.
it's just okay. You think about like Part of the Machine, not a hug.
No, you know, I remember listening to Fate's Warring's Part of the Machine in '89. Of course, being already very familiar with them, going on the arc with them already, the evolution, the journey, and hearing Part of the Machine for the first time and going, wow, this is like, it's like being in an elevator that's got a bad cable and you're just being jerked around. You're getting somewhere, but it's got this extra beat or this extra jerk to it. And that's just the beauty of Mark Zondar's drumming, his approach. Because if you listen to the demos of Zimmerman on that song, those exist, it's not that.
I know.
Anyway, back to Vaudeville, certainly Fate's Warning influence as well. This is Comedy of Errors, which I look at that title, I always think of Ewan LaGarrette and his great zine, Comedy of Errors, some of the best writing in a US fanzine. Anyway, yeah, this is another fine moment.
Sometimes we hide from ourselves the shadow of pain's making fate. The lost dream, the mystery of life, the stolen word given back to the ones whence it came. The comedy of errors, that is yours.
Some great drumming there.
Fantastic drumming.
Don't want to give too much away, and I want to hear more about what you think of Chris DeLove, or DeLove, I don't know how you say his name, the drummer. He and Fab, Renato's brother, are the two that we know went on to do the other stuff. That's all we're going to say for now. We're not going to, you know, hint at where they went. But like,
wait till you hear the other stuff.
Well, wait, yeah, that, but what I'm saying more is like, I don't know who did, who was in vaudeville for the rest of the time, because there are people credited. They have different names. We know that Fab and Chris were part of it, but I don't know. I'm sure it's out there, but this band is one motherfucking hard band to get information on. It's like, there was just nothing about
it. Even on Metal Archives, it's really tough to kind of suss out exactly who does what.
It's yeah, beyond after the first album, exactly. Those EPs are very mysterious still, which I kind of like about them. I kind of like that I don't know everything. I'm sure somebody out there, somebody in Greece or something, that, you know, I worship the Greeks' love of metal and knowledge of it. It's unbelievable. But I don't know. I don't know. So like, and I never known, and it's always been shadowy, and I've always kept it that way. But there's not much. Yeah, if you go digging, it's you're not going to find much. Anyway, yeah. We love them. We obviously, they're one of these bands that the Radical Research approach is like, we've always wanted to just highlight bands that we think were better than what their fame was or wasn't. They deserve more. They're better than that. In the perfect world, these bands would be, you know, huge. This band would be at least as big as Fate's Warning, and would have gone on to do more of a discography. 17, 18 songs, you're not going to get very far, right? No. Anyhow,
they're the Strid of probably.
We haven't talked about Strid yet.
I just felt like talking about Strid again with you.
I know you do. And thanks to Vico Ribane, who sent me a Strid shirt. Man, I mean, couldn't have been more well-timed. But yeah. Anyhow, we'll move on. Or did you want to say anything about the guy's drumming?
No, it's fantastic. It's really fluid. And I'll say this about it. It's because he's like a salmon swimming upstream, because the drum sound itself is kind of clunky, kind of blocky, like sampled sounding, but he still manages to be like totally fluid. And there are a lot of modulations between straight time and swung time and
right,
you know, triplets and
right.
And he navigates those really, really masterfully.
He reminds me of if Queensryche had let Scott Rockenfield like really go, like they just wanted to be really more freeform, right? Less picky, because they're the pickiest band. Like, you know, they were so precise
with
everything they did, every aspect of the arrangement and performance. Like, but if Scott Rockenfield were like more fluid, more of a Zonder, I think he would sound like this guy.
Yeah.
Does that track?
Absolutely.
To a good drummer. I mean, like, you're an amazing drummer. I'm not. I'm a fucking awesome air drummer. You know that. But like,
dude, you're probably I pale.
Oh, I'm astonishing.
I've seen you do that before.
But I get behind the
all three.
Get behind the kit and I'm like, a little rusty, you know, I need to work on it. But I get the I get the process, I get the idea.
I'm a big Rockenfield fan. You know that.
Yes. Well, yeah, no, he's great. And this guy, like I said, it's like he's playing Zonderlicks. If Rockenfield was playing Zonderlicks,
yep.
it's this guy.
He's not as he doesn't have the chops of Zonder, but
no,
people don't.
I think more, I'm talking about more like, what can I do to change this up and make it creative?
Sure,
and
interesting. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So it gets me excited to listen to more. Let's listen to Philosophia Mosaica, which was one of the 93 demo songs. And it sounds pretty 93 to me.
You know how I feel.
Eyes from which you see your reflection. Yeah.
I picked that the end of it because it directly references the Sister Mary suite from Operation Mindcrime.
Whoa, you're telling I didn't know
Dun, 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 dun.
that. Wow, dude.
It's almost verbatim, but they switch it up a little bit.
I
Yeah,
mean,
but it's a quotation.
wow. Okay, I'm surprised we didn't bring you didn't bring that out on those shows we do on riff similarities or rips.
Guess I was waiting.
You were waiting. Well, here it is. That's great, dude. I mean, you just blew my mind. Like, I had no idea. I never made that connection. But you know this album better than I do. I love it, and I know it. But you've had more listens to this one, I'll bet. I'm glad, dude. I like I said, I get into it more every listen, and I have been for 30 years now. But like, the show is making me love it even more. Like, it certainly ages well. Some records kind of
Does, man.
don't sometimes, but this is great. And this is the frustrating thing about this strain of progressive metal, because I don't want to bore people. I wrote about it in a book and whatever. Most people don't care that live in this planet. But I will say this.
I'm
My
the guy that
vision,
wrote
sorry.
the definitive book on
No.
progressive metal,
Well,
but
the only one,
whatever.
the only
You
person
wrote
to
the only book that you ever need to read on progressive metal.
It's the only book of progressive metal because I'm the only idiot, ape-like creature, dumb enough to do it. But like, here's the thing: like, as I write about in there, and I still believe this, and I'll always believe this, the amount of great bands in the more, I guess we'll call traditional progressive metal mold, is it's very few. It's kind of like power metal. Like, I love Nocturnal Rites. I love the first Hammerfall. I'll always stump for that one. I love all kinds of. I love early. I love some Gamma Ray. I love what's considered power metal, but there's very few bands that do it that I really truly love. You know what I mean? Like, Lost Horizon is the greatest of them all. That they just delete everybody. You know what I mean? But so Vaudeville fits in. They do. We know it. Vaudeville fits into this world though, where they're just another precious band that's really good in this mold. There were a lot of bands that were influenced by Queensryche, by Fate's Warning, by Dream Theater, by Psychotic Waltz, by even Seizures even. And they just weren't great. You know what I mean? Like, Vaudeville came out smelling fucking fantastic. And that's frustrating because there's just a very limited amount of bands in this world that I truly love.
Oh yeah. Well, that's always been the case for me. And with power metal. I mean,
Now, traditional heavy metal, like, there's way more. Do you know what I mean?
that's way different.
Yeah, but that distinct
And it's a
thing.
broader and you get into traditional metal, it's a broader sort of landscape too.
And I've had actually people come up to, like, people that have known me for a long time and known my taste, go like, "Oh, you listen to nothing but like death metal." I'm like, "No. I really like a ton of extreme metal, but I just think there's better bands in that whole spectrum, right, than power metal or progressive metal. But some of my favorite music in the world is Lost Horizon. Some of my favorite music in the world, no question, is Fate's Warning. There just isn't that much of that stuff that I think is amazing. And
Well,
you're
the people that are influenced by those bands rarely rise to the level or evolve out of those bands the way that we would liked it.
I guess that's it. Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, why would there be more variation in death metal and black metal, though? Right? Why is there more greatness
That's
there?
really that's an maybe that's an episode.
I think that's a more vexing question than an episode, though, of a
That's
little
a that's a
podcast.
very, I don't know. It's I am not in the I don't have the capacity to muse upon that right now.
Well, let's move on. We are
That's
definitely.
a really interesting question.
We'll revel in vaudeville some more because this is just some great stuff. We did play The Weapon, the first song. We're not going to play the last song, Minus Absence. Any reason why you didn't pick the bookends?
No, I just like the meat of it.
And I gave you an assignment. I was like, take six of the eight. We're not going to give everything
Oh,
away.
this is why, yes, yeah, why I chose them.
Yeah.
I wanted the bologna and I didn't want the bread.
Dude, fucking half man, half biscuit. I can guarantee you, Hunter, nobody's ever said that about vaudeville before regarding the bologna sandwich.
Leave it to my stupid, fucking ridiculous ass.
This is why people like are just paying for our mansions on Patreon because we bring up this kind of
Because
stuff.
I'm a moron.
Yeah, because you're a moron, basically. Yeah. No,
Yeah.
this is In Search of Forever. Good pick, Hunter. Let's build your ego back. This is a nice little snippet from the penultimate song on To Dimension Logic. We haven't talked about regarding this band and well, this album are the vocals. A guy named Stacy Hanschild did these vocals. Fab did some of the vocals, the guitarist, but generally it was this kind of session guy. And man, I mean, he didn't do anything else to my knowledge. And I like that song in particular, In Search of Forever, kind of highlights how special he is. He's sort of hitting these Ray Alder. Early
Oh
Labrie,
man.
things. Just fantastic, man. So good.
He does. And you and I both we like Sieges even. We've both had some issues with the quirk of the vocals.
Well, the first two albums, certainly. Yeah.
We're not talking about Herita. But like on Since a Change, I mean, it's not the easiest vocal to get into.
True, true. Yeah, okay, yeah.
But yeah, like this guy seems like a superstar.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. He's great all over this thing, as
He
you
is.
say.
And I
Yeah.
mean, he's subtle, but when he needs to go all majestic, it seems effortless.
The majesty and the drama of his voice never gets too like maudlin. It never gets too overwrought. It never gets too stupid. I mean, just
Great. Yeah, no, totally. No, but that's the entire thing about this record. It's very measured. It's very classy.
And dark, and it stays
Where
dark. It stays dark. He often sounds mournful rather than histrionic, I guess. Yeah, I'm glad we talked about him because he's super unsung. I mean, this whole band is unsung. You know, good luck trying to find information on Stacy Hanchild.
Facebook him.
Yeah, face MySpace the dude. He's
Pretty much.
So that's an 8-song album. We listen to six snippets. Let's move on. 4 years later, there's a gap. And the next release is a 5-song EP called Vogue, VOG. And like we said earlier, there's not a lot of info to go on this band. So I we know it's Fab. We're pretty damn sure it's Chris on drums. These two guys are driving it. There's other people involved, no doubt. And there's plenty of print. Here's the thing. If you have the Digipak, which is cheap on Discogs, go get it. There's no excuse not to. It does not list the membership, as far as I can tell, but the print is so goddamn small. I don't know if that's me getting older or just like
No, it's super
terrible.
small.
Yeah, like you can't make shit out. So they'll say, good luck reading the thanks list, as we tend to do. Yeah, so I have no idea, but let's just take a listen and we'll talk.
I lived through the 90s and I'm still having trouble connecting the dots.
Really? Okay.
And I'm hoping that you can help me do that.
Yeah, they obviously shifted. They obviously probably even in 93, 94, they were starting to listen to lots of different things, perhaps years before. But here they are sounding like all of if Mind Over Four had gone on after Empty Hands and gotten great again. You know what I mean? Like this kind of like reinvention of like what it means to be progressive in metal, but also not caring about any of that and more absorbing that free thing that the 90s had in just rock and metal. And so I can't connect the dots so much as I can understand it as a listener who got into both, Fates Warring and Queensryche and even what they were doing in the early and mid 90s, Promised Land, Inside Out, Pleasant Shade of Grey. Like I get it. But I also get Nine Inch Nails. I also get, well, that's there,
I
but it's
hear
not a
like
riff.
Massive Attack.
Massive Attack. Okay. Which
Like,
Leprous was inspired by Massive Attack, and you can hear sort of the seeds of Leprous there. Like there's a lot. Yeah. They reinvented and they were just as good as this sort of band. And it,
but it's, when we were listening, I said Monus.
Oh, dude. Okay, I was saving that for the next EP, but you know what? You got it.
Yeah, it's one of our favorites.
Yes, it's Monus.
We've covered them multiple times.
Yeah.
But that switch was so abrupt.
Well, that was switch was even more abrupt than
much more.
The
but
Monus, the Monus switch from the versus the vaudeville switch is what you're saying.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The Monus switch was much more abrupt, but this is still abrupt, and I feel like it's a case of, it's one of those things that, like, bands that are all listening to the same things and they just end up in similar places.
For sure, for sure. I think what's jarring about this is not only the 4 years, but, like, think about Fate's Warning. We'll go back to our heroes again. Awaken the Guardian to Parallels to Disconnected. Like, you get that because there were other albums within that chronology. With this one, you just jump from Two Dimension Logic to this, and you're like,
Disconnected.
Well, no, but you're dropped in. It doesn't make sense because you haven't had another album or another EP to kind of have this make sense. But this is where they went naturally. We love it. Look, I'm excited to listen to more. This is a song called The Funeral Party.
Who doesn't like a good funeral party?
So that's even further from Two Dimension Logic than Assassination, The Funeral Party.
Yes.
I mean, you're a mean person. Like, I love that. I'm glad they don't drag that out. I think that could have gone hokey, but man, I love that song. I think that's, it's just fucking perfect 1998 post-metal. I don't know what else to say, you know?
It is. And, you know, it gets into kind of like Wax Trax, even, you know, Cox kind of territory.
Okay.
Then it has a mournfulness about it.
Yeah.
That
those don't have.
It's like what we're talking about, you know, like what you were talking about with, you know, Fate's Warning earlier is, you know, that kind of connective tissue. And even though this is a really abrupt shift, like, I feel like there's still some of the, you know, the earlier DNA still in this stuff. It's a bleak, it's buried, but there's still like a melancholy about this band.
That's true. Here, there you go. That's the thread. Sorry, that's the thread. That's the thread you were asking me to make, or the connection was the melancholy, because as you say, Fate's Warning, super melancholy band of the big three of progressive metal: Queensryche, Dream Theater, Fate's Warning. Fates Warning were by far the most melancholy, and each of those other bands had melancholy as well. But Fates were fucking just doomed. I mean, like Nothing Left to Say is one of the most doom metal songs of all time. Not just in tone and riff, but like in just emotion. Like, oh shit, we are fucked. You know what I mean? Like, it's just there's no hope. And like, so Vaudeville has that, and that's the connection. You just made it, man.
Oh, well, cool.
I think so. Yeah. We'll hear it in this great song, For the Sun Has Gone to Hell. We love song titles around here. For the Sun, S-O-N. For
this
the
is
Sun.
Like, Swans, you know, like goddamn the sun.
Yes, For the Sun Has Gone to Hell. My favorite moment on this EP. Your thoughts?
I think about some band like Filter that got huge during the 90s. And this is, no one knows that this even exists.
Right, right.
It just, you know what they do? You know what they do? They do now, Jeff. They know that this exists. All four of our Radical Research listeners.
Well, I mean, they start. Yeah, they like the first 5 minutes, but then they're like, "Yeah, I'm good." You know, the people that stick,
they'll never make it to this.
It's the people that stick in. You know, I tell you what, we do hear from people like a day or less after we launch an episode who go, "Oh, I can't wait for the next one," and they'll name it. You know, like, "Oh, the new, you know, the Weird Sigh or whatever." Like, they'll have listened already all the way to the end, and that always surprises me. Like, you listen that quickly and you got all the way to the end, and you said you were like interested in like a Weird Sigh.
They just skip to the end.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is.
They're like, fuck it. Yeah, I get it. Let's just see what's next.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so But the Sun Has Gone to Hell is amazing. Like, you mentioned the thing about Filter, but there you go, right?
Just, I mean, what else can I say?
Here's what I can say. If you want Two Dimension Logic and you also want these EPs, Century Media released the entire discography, basically all 18 songs or whatever it is, 10 years ago, 2014. Just as Two Dimension Logic had a little bit of a different logo at the top, but basically you get everything. It's awesome, and it has a 15-minute song at the end called Sincerely Die, which is like this cut up weird fucking thing. You can see why it didn't make the EPs. Have you ever heard this thing, Sincerely Die?
No.
Yeah, it's interesting. And those that buy the CD or listen to that new version will hear that. But yeah, you can have the discography cheaply and easily. So we encourage people to go get it, whatever way you get it. We're going to move on. There's another song. Well, actually, there's two more songs in Vogue. One of them is called Prognosis Poor Me Syndrome. That opens the album. It's really good. And the final song, Live and Learn, it's LiveNLurne, but obviously they're having some wordplay there, live and learn. We'll get to wordplay more on the next EP. And here, this band, right? The next EP comes out. It's 3 years later. I think Siberian Church Recordings was recorded earlier than 2001 or even 2000, like maybe 99. I can't be sure of that. Do you know anything about that?
No, I know it was recorded a little earlier.
Yeah, so it's four
And
songs. It's
again, Matt Johnson told me that.
there you
So.
go. It's four songs. It's 14 minutes. Really interesting packaging of the original CD. We're gonna move on to that. And you heard Summoning at the beginning, which is this ambient piece that closes it. But here's the first of three songs we're gonna play from it. Plots opens it up. It's called Plots, and in parentheses, two or F or T or F, which I imagine means true or false, are necessary things. Perhaps one of the weirdest titles and weirdest looking titles of anything we've ever covered. Because I'm sure I butchered just how do we even explain this song title? There's even a
Not sure
question mark
that
at the end
anyone
of it.
knows how to explain it.
Anyway, let's go. This is plot, T or F, are a necessary thing. That's my favorite thing they've ever done, I think.
But it's pure 90s
Yes.
in a
But
good way.
it's perfect world 90s. It's the Radical Research perfect world. We talk about that a lot. That would be huge.
Dude, that should have been huge.
It's incredible. It's
That's
great.
incredible commercial potential.
It's excellent songwriting. The emotion is genuine. Like everything is coming together there. I mean, that's like I said. When we came out, I think that's my favorite
Boys, your
vaudeville
only
moment.
problem's your song titles.
Right. The big boardroom meeting at Warped.
Boys,
Right.
you got plenty of potential, but you got a song title problem.
Look, this is Vorp Records, man. We don't settle for less. Vorp is going to be huge. They're poised to be the next.
We are going to be the next crawfish.
From Regent West, Victoria, Australia, Vorp Records released Vaudeville EP, a version of Two Dimension Logic, and something by the Worms from 2002 and 2009. Worms being W-U-R-M-S. Then Fab from Vaudeville is in Worms. And here's the thing. On our Facebook playlist posts that we do on Radical Research just about every week or every 10 days, the insane amount of people around the globe that you and I, Hunter, have gotten to keep track in their notes on their phone every listen they make. It's a little nuts. Everybody posts it. I just want people to know that don't know about this. Go to Facebook. But on that playlist post, the great Thomas Null, your friend and mine, Deserts of Hex, had everything to do with this Vaudeville, Worm, Disembowelment, Trial of Bow, some other band. Like he was deep diving into this world. So we're glad that he was anticipating our episode. I hope he likes it.
Not surprise me.
Yeah, Thomas is a deep diver like the rest of us, right?
So dearly. And
me too, man. I can't wait to meet the guy. I feel like he's a shadow figure in our world, this like legend. Yeah. There's a legend that may not even exist.
Dude, he's a fucking legend. I can tell you. Who else would have gone down the Deserts of Hex road with me? You know?
Not me.
No one else would have. It's absurd.
No, I got in on round two and then tapped out. I'm like, I can't hang.
Well, that's bullshit. But I'm just saying that what I have asked of Thomas is insane.
Yeah, no, I know.
And he just was like, yep.
40-page edits and dissertations of the entire of the Decmel Omega catalog from C Monumentum to Long Defeat. And he's like, yeah, standing up, sir, right in front. Like, and he fucking kills it. He kills it. He's amazing. Thomas Noel, man. So this band exists in this weird world of Vorp Records and a band called Worms. And nobody knows or cares except Hunter, myself, and Thomas Noel, apparently. Let's move on. Plots, again, like Plots, maybe my favorite thing this band's ever done. I think it's outstanding. We're going to move on to a song called Isis Pect. It's I-S-I-S and then P-E-K-T with a slash between the two. Again, more wordplay. It's just, I suspect. Yeah, I didn't get that one as quickly as I got Live and Learn, but there you go.
Idea of Isis, the queen, like pecking out someone's eyes.
That's pretty damn good. I was thinking of the terror organization, unfortunately, and then P-E-K-T. Ooh. Being an anagram of something even more sinister. I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway, I mean, it can go a bunch of different ways.
You mentioned Monas earlier. I'm going to mention Thief and KO Dot right here, and we'll talk when we get back.
Oh,
What say you, good sir? Good biscuit.
Just like more modern rock awesomeness.
Yeah.
I really think they have a lot of, well, not now, but back then, they had a lot of commercial potential.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been hard for Australian bands. One, they don't tour, they can't abroad. It's very
Yes,
difficult. It's very difficult.
oh, I mean, it's you're talking about a 17-hour trip to the US.
Yeah, logistically, there's just too much to deal with as a band. But it happens, and but it's rare and it's special when it does, and vice versa when bands go over there. You've been over there with Agalloch. It was pretty awesome. Actually, this band's from Melbourne, which you fell in love with, right? Or was it Sydney?
No, it was Melbourne.
Yeah.
Like I could very easily, in a slightly different world, I would move to Melbourne.
Let's take your mom. Let's take your daughter. Let's take my
No,
family. Let's
that's
go.
okay. So that's the slight okay. So that removes the slightly different world part.
I mean, considering what's happening in this country right now, let's go. That's all I want to say, but like, let's go.
I have to tell you, we said we weren't going to talk about this too much, but
Yeah, I know.
if it were in the cards, I'd take my mom and I'd take my daughter and I'd be in Melbourne tomorrow.
You didn't say you were going to take me.
You sound like Jason fucking Walton. Jason got mad at me one time because I said I love my daughter more than I loved him. And we're in the car. He goes, "That's just rude."
My God. We love you, Jason. But yeah,
We
I'm
had to
going
mention him at least one time.
to, of course. So we're going to leave you with a
I think he would
song.
hate this man,
We're
by the
going
way.
to leave. You think he would hate vaudeville?
Yeah, I'm
You
pretty
think
sure.
he's hanging in? Here's the thing. I think he'd like some of this later stuff.
He, no, he totally would.
I hope,
I don't think
please.
he would like the I don't think he would like to Dimension Logic, but I
I
do
know.
like the later stuff
He'll
actually.
hang in. He's one of those listeners that like he tells us that, he hangs in even though he doesn't like certain types of music. I mean, that dude I mentioned earlier from Australia said the same thing, and that's fine. That's to be expected, I'd imagine. Over a span of 122 episodes, you're not gonna like all this fucking weird shit, There are people out there listening to us all the time that didn't like No Means No. As unfathomable as that seems to us, we dig it.
As ridiculous and wrong as that is.
Wrong, no pun intended. Let's listen to Movement, and we'll catch people up on the next three episodes. I'll catch you up because I have some surprises in store for you. We are at the point where
Hey.
we're kind of like calling audibles on the next episode. So we'll talk in public. This is Movement. So, Hunter, I think that music worth listening to is worth listening to over and over and over and over and over and over until you die. And I think Vaudeville is a band that I will always have around me, want near me, want to have access to every single time. Like this is really special stuff.
Very special band, man. Very special band. They're we talked about all their influences tonight and all that, but they're a very singular band.
Singular is the word for sure. Okay. Join us next time when we're going to do it. We're going to do the Bathory Octagon episode. We've decided that we're not going to get that $10,000 anytime soon. And I think we would in 2026 or by 2026. But considering the world may end in 2025 with what's going on in the world, we're just going to cover Bathory's Octagon, which I think we think, Hunter, this is an agreement. Probably just be more of a conversation about Bathory and how great he is or they are, how great the entity is, and just wonder about Octagon. So that's that. That's 124. 125 will be on Anathema's Eternity. So join us then, Hunter. This has been fun. I hope people go out and buy the Century Media Vaudeville reissue. That's the way to go, I think.
Please do.
Or spend like at least $60 on the Two Dimension Logic version that has the original spelling of Vaudeville on it. That
Yeah, if you don't want to be a poser, do
you
that.
know you want to be just like Matt Johnson, who certainly has every version of that pressing.
He's got the Bulgarian pressing.
Until we perceive Bifrost, this
Is radical research.